Welcome to the show, former NHLer, now with the NHL on NBC. Good morning to Anson Carter. How are you doing this morning, Anson?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
Excellent. Boy, you're working hard these days, man. Are they giving you any time off in the studio?
No time off, but I've been off the last 4 months, so I guess we're making up for lost time.
All right. All good. Listen, let's start with, and I know you've talked about this a lot on television, but just your thoughts on what Matt Dumba had to say on Saturday, and would you want to see the NHL kind of carry this through throughout the entire playoffs, or do you think getting that message out on that first day really drove it home enough?
Well, the first day is important because everyone's tuning in, everyone's watching. I got to give kudos to National Hockey for giving the HDA and Matt Dumba that platform, the opportunity to speak. This is something that might not have happened 15, 20 years ago, but it's a part of our everyday life. So if players want to make their statements and do what they want to do on a daily basis, by all means, players can go ahead. But, you know, it's not going to affect the way guys are preparing. It's not the way the guys are playing. You saw Ryan Reeves and Robin Leonard, what they did, their game against Vegas and Dallas. Both didn't impact the way those guys played in that hockey game. So I think players can make their statements and go about their business and, you know, focus on the game at the same time.
Great to look at the pro level, Ace, but do you also look at this and say, hey, this is where USA Hockey and Hockey Canada ultimately are the ones that really have to do something to affect some major change?
Well, they set the tone. If you look at the hockey world, and the NHL is the tip of the iceberg. If you look at it as a pyramid or a triangle, and the best players in the world are very top, and you know, you only have 700 players out of, what, 6 billion people in the world playing the National Hockey League. But when you're looking at the number of young boys and girls that play at the minor hockey level, absolutely, when it comes to Hockey Canada and USA Hockey, they have to be the ones that have to drive that point home that hockey isn't a place. It's not a safe haven for racist people. We have to eliminate it. We have to get it out of the way. And, you know, I said it on air, and I'll say it again, and I'll say it every single time. You know, talking about social justice and equal rights, like, there's nothing political about that whatsoever. So when people want to try to put that spin on it being political, they're dead wrong. You know, people want to say, well, sports isn't a place for this, or that they're dead wrong, because black athletes have to deal with this on a daily basis.
Would you like to see more players demonstrate on behalf of what Matt Dumba said in whatever means they want to?
No, you know, I'm not going to put it on anyone. The guys are going to do what they feel comfortable doing. And I want it to be authentic, too. Like, I don't want this to be like a flavor of the week. I don't want guys to think, well, this is the right thing to do, so we might as well do it, too. If it's in your heart, go ahead and do it. And if it's in your heart, you don't have to do it either. And if you don't feel like doing it, you don't have to feel like doing it. And if you don't do it, you shouldn't be vilified for it. So it has to be authentic. It has to come from a place where you really believe what you're saying, because you're still going to have those knuckleheads out there that are to complain if you do make a statement of, you know, why all of a sudden now, or how come you're doing it if you're a white player, doesn't affect you. Well, it does affect you, because you've got black teammates and black people in the world that, you know, the world is connected. We're not separated. We're not divided. We're all part of this world together. So just because you might not be black doesn't mean that you can't affect or feel what people are going through.
Does the NHL and some of its players need to use some of the financial resources, AC, and I look at this in the United States, try to make this economically available, especially to some African-American athletes south of the border?
Yeah, it's a big concern. I mean, hockey's not a cheap sport, but listen, I live in Buckhead, Atlanta, and it's probably the wealthiest place in the States when it comes to black people, or one of them at least. And you go to Phipps Plaza, you go to Lenox Mall, and there's tons of black folks walking around, Louis Vuitton, you know, Chanel bags, a Gucci bag. So it's not like there isn't money in the black community. We just have to make the hockey as a sport that the black community wants to invest into. And if we could do that, then we'll be off to a good start. But you're right. It has to be a cheaper sport. I just look at registration. There's a lot of people involved in minor hockey that don't want to change things. A lot of people in minor hockey are lining their pockets, you know, getting kickbacks, you know, for registration being $5,000, $10,000 a season for these kids to play hockey. That certainly eliminates a certain level of players they're able to afford to compete in hockey. And you talk about trying to lower those costs, you get a lot of pushback. Oh, well, we're not sure. We don't know if we want to lower the cost. Well, figure it out. Figure out a way. You know, you can figure out a way to lower those costs, and you can maximize your pool of talent that's going to play the game of hockey.
Talking to former NHLer Anson Carter from the NHL and NBC, let's quickly kind of look at what you've seen so far through four games. You watched Carolina polish off the Rangers. Any surprise to you that they were able to do it in three straight?
Very surprised. I think Carolina, give them a lot of credit. Coach Rod Brindamore has those guys flying out there. But I think the Hurricanes caught a break not having Shesterkin start that series. He's really been the best player in the last month or so of the regular season before the pause, or the best goaltender for the New York Rangers. And that certainly hurt them. You know, Henrik Lundqvist didn't play poorly, but he didn't steal any games for them. And Shesterkin, I think, gives your team a different mentality going into the game, especially with his ability to play the puck. You'd be able to stifle the Carolina Hurricanes forecheck a little bit. You got to proceed with caution when the guys that can play the puck back there as well as he can. And Henrik had a little bit of deficiencies with that. But just the intensity and the level of, competitive nature with the players, that's what surprised me the most, because you never know what you're going to get. There's the pause, guys are training on their own, you don't know what kind of physical condition guys are in, you don't know how hungry guys are to come back and play in August. But, I haven't been disappointed. You know, the hockey level's been high, the compete level's been high. It's been very fascinating, very fun to watch for a full day of hockey.
Leafs ended up losing game one. I thought played well. Korpisalo stood on his head, looked great yesterday. Are you optimistic if you're a Leafs fan waking up going forward and saying, hey, you know what, a little more physicality, Freddie Anderson looks good and certainly can score with the best of them?
Yeah, I'm very optimistic with the Leafs. I mean, even though I like Tortorella's team and how hard they play, like the pack mentality, but Clifford sets a tone with big hits. You know, having that sandpaper in the lineup certainly helps. But I thought going into game two, there was going to have to be a focus on John Tavares. You know, you look at Seth Jones and Zach Werenski, and they just smothered Austin Matthews, who I thought played well in game one. But as a second line, you have an opportunity now. You're sitting on the bench, you're thinking, well, you know, for a big guy who's going to see those two octopus on the ice and Jones and Werenski 24-7, there has to be open ice available for us. We've got to get some things done on the offensive zone. And, you know, it's good to see Tavares getting the board, because that's certainly going to get the Columbus Blue Jackets' attention.
With Anson Carter, the Boston Bruins were the best team during the regular season. We didn't play any hockey for 4.5 months, and they've come back and put in a couple of, well, I'll call them, you know, no-shows. They haven't really looked anything close to the team that was there. Do you have any concerns right now about the Bruins, or do you think they'll snap back to it when the games really start having some meaning?
Yeah, I'm not concerned. Every team has a different schedule of how they're getting ready to get ready. And the Bruins don't have anything to play for just yet. So when the puck drops for real, I think they're going to have their game in order and they'll be ready to go.
Do you look at also AC and kind of say, hey, you know what, finally we have a shift to the East? When I look at the Big Four, I'll put in now Pittsburgh, Carolina, even Toronto and Islanders, where, hey, that's a lot more depth than maybe we're seeing on the Western side and should set up for a real good round one?
Yeah, I mean, I agree. It's funny how it changes every year. It's crazy, or every couple of years. Sometimes the West, you have the powerhouse come out of there, you got the East coming out of there, but you're right. You're seeing the talent just switch every couple of years. And I think for a hockey fan, it makes it interesting too, because you see the East build up, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh man, all the talent's here. I wish my team was out West, with an easier chance to get the Stanley Cup final, and then it just switches. And I think that's because when those teams in the other side of the conference, they aren't doing so well, they get higher draft picks. And it mentions those players mature.
All right, good stuff. No, you got another busy day ahead of you. Appreciate the minutes you were able to spend with us this morning. Thanks for the time, and we'll check in again down the road.
Thanks, guys. Anytime.